Okay, hope you have your Bible. I got too much junk around here. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Philippians again. This is our Philippians study. That's not my large print. I need a bigger print. My eyes are going bad. Philippians. And the third chapter. We're in the third chapter of Philippians. And we're talking about this matter of apprehension. That word came up in the text. Big word, but it's a word that's pretty common in the world, and it's pretty common in the scriptures as well. In Philippians 3, we've already read it, but verse 12 says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus," or "for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Now, this word, we already learned in the last couple of lessons, it's used of capturing a criminal. Well, at least that's how most of us would know and understand that word. But it's not necessarily a criminal. Sometimes the person arrested has not committed a crime. For example, if in the book of Acts, chapter 12, the Bible says in verses 3 and 4, Acts 12, 3 and 4, "And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him." So to apprehend, when he wanted to take Peter, he sent soldiers, and they laid hold upon him and bound him up. So we see from this Bible definition that Jesus Christ has a hold on me as a saved man. He's apprehended me. He's taken me. He has brought me under his power and under his control. And that is nothing to complain about. In fact, that's a really grand and glorious truth. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse number 26, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Okay, now watch carefully. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Well, what does that mean? That means the Lord has apprehended me. He has laid hold upon me. He has taken me in hand. And having done so, he is not going to turn me loose. You remember what we read back in Philippians chapter 1, how that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We could say now from chapter 3, he who has laid hold upon you and taken you in his hand will hold you there until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, I want to show you what we already have as saved people in Jesus Christ. It's pretty amazing when you start looking through the Word of God and realize what Jesus Christ considers when he considers his own. Now, if you have not been born again, well, you can be baptized, you can be a church member, you can be a moral person. But if you have not been born again, well, you're going to hell, and none of what we're going to talk about tonight is going to be true about you, because you're not a child of God. God is angry with you because you're wicked every day. You're not wicked because you smoke or because you drink or cuss or cheat on your husband. You're wicked because you put your own self-righteousness ahead of faith in God's Son. And that's Bible. So I just don't want you to think today, having never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't want you to think, wow, look at all that God has done for me. The things we're going to consider tonight, he has not done for you if you have not been saved. However, And I think this will be the case for most of us here tonight, as far as I know. If you have been saved, all of these things that we're about to discuss are things that Jesus Christ has done for you. So let's look at this. First of all, Romans chapter 8, keep in mind, the children of Israel, they left Egypt. They got out of Egypt, not because they were good people while they were there. They got out of Egypt because they put their trust in God's word and applied the blood of the Lamb to their condition. And on the basis of that faith in God and the blood of the Lamb, God redeemed them and God brought them out of Egypt. Well, hey, on the way to the promised land, they griped, they murmured, they complained, they were divisive, they were bitter toward God, and they made that golden calf and danced around it. And one day a crooked king hired a crooked preacher to curse the people, and he stood on a mountain and opened his mouth, and God said, through Balaam, I have not beheld iniquity in Jacob. That's Numbers 23, verse 21. He had not beheld iniquity in Jacob. He says, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. That's pretty incredible when you know a little bit about those people. That's incredible, because he had just written 40 chapters about the iniquity of these people. That the thing you have to keep in mind is that is for you to see, you understand. But God says, I haven't seen any of it. So God wants you to understand my sin, my failure, your sin, your shortcoming is something you've got to deal with in this life. We talked about this last week. But tonight, we're talking about what Jesus Christ sees when he looks on you, when he looks in his hands. All right, you're in Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay, so if I'm his, and I am, if you are his, I hope you are, then we have the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's clear enough. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay, now look at that. I am in the Spirit, verse 9. I am righteous, verse 10. Here I am down here in this world, and as far as I can see, I'm fighting against the flesh. I'm trying to enter into varying degrees of righteousness. I am dealing with that every day of my life. But when Jesus looks at me safely in the palm of his hand, he says, all I see is that the Holy Spirit has made him righteous. Okay, now that is apprehension. Do you know what Paul said, the Holy Spirit directing him? He said, it would change my entire life if I could come to the terms, if I could come to terms with that, with what Jesus Christ sees me to be, and then press toward the mark of becoming for all to see what I am in the sight of God. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, does he? Verse 9 says he does if you're saved. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. All right, so look what he's done. He's put me in the Spirit, verse 9. He's given me righteousness, verse 10. He's given me the promise of resurrection, verse 11. And none of that is conditioned upon what I'm doing down here. All of that is conditioned on where I am in relationship to Jesus Christ. I'm in his hand. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. What did the Holy Spirit, or what the Holy Spirit just said in that passage is that we owe him our life. The Holy Spirit says, look what I did for you. Look where you are. Look at what God sees when he looks at you. How could you live your life? How could you labor for anyone or anything else when Jesus Christ has been so good to you? How could I devote myself to Republicans or Democrats or Yankees or rebels or freemen or bondmen or slaves? I'm debtor to Jesus Christ. I owe him my heart, soul, strength, and mind. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. That's the way it goes. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now watch. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. All right. I was already apprehended by sin. I was in bondage. Sin had taken hold on me. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ stepped on the scene, showed me through his word that he had come to redeem me, to buy me. The devil said, it'll cost you your blood. And Jesus said, all right, good enough. And he went to Mount Calvary and redeemed me with his own precious blood. One day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. He walked over. He took me out of the bondage of sin, snatched me from the power of the devil. And he said, I'll take him. Thank you. And I was apprehended again. But now when I turn and look, I don't see my destroyer clinging to me and dragging me to hell. Now I see my Redeemer, my Savior, my Deliverer. And he says, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not going to let you go. Don't be afraid. That old devil won't get his hands on you again. And I bought you and I'm hanging on to you. So look, I'm apprehended. I've been captured. I've been rescued is what it is. And so verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, sometimes you don't feel saved. Sometimes you have some doubts. Sometimes the ways, situations, and circumstances run into your life and you wonder, but the Bible says that the God who laid hold upon you will continue to hold you and will never let you go. Glory to his name. Verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, I'm not only a child, God's child by the new birth, but because I am a child, I am an heir. I'm not only an heir, I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. All that he inherits, I stand to inherit because he has taken me and made me his own, made me a part, a member of his own body. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the book of Colossians. Letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, Colossians chapter number 1, and verse 12. The Bible says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, in Romans 8:17, he said, you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And I read that and I say, well, I don't deserve that. I don't have that coming to me. And then God says in Colossians chapter 1 here, no, that's right. You don't deserve it, but I made you deserving. And you qualify for the inheritance because of what I have done for you, not because of what you have done for me. Make sense? All right, so the Colossians passage, it goes on. Colossians 1 verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Okay, that's already done. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, I'm not misreading the Bible here. I am a joint heir with Christ. I am meet, fit to be partaker of his inheritance. You know what his inheritance is? We just read it. Dominion over visible things, dominion over invisible things, dominion over thrones, principalities, and powers. In fact, in verse 17, it says, all things. It's amazing. You know, it's strange to me why people like those made-up fairy tale stories, Cinderella, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Super Bowl, all that sort of thing, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy. How could you possibly get excited about those things when you have God's holy word, the Bible, that makes you the outcast, worthless, slave to sin, to the devil, bound for hell, no way to rescue yourself? And then the Lord God of the universe sends his own son to shed his blood, not only to pay for your sins and wash them away, but to elevate you to the place where you are the joint heir, the co-inheritor of the creation with the creator. How could you get excited about any other story when you have that one? I'm in his hands, not part-time, not sometimes, not in, then out, out, then in. I am my beloved's and he is mine. Glory to God. Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read some more about this, what we have as believers in Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath. Now look at that. Understand that's a past tense. It means it's already done. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, okay, I may not have received them all yet because I'm still down here in this body of flesh, but in those heavenly places where God reckons that which is eternal and not that which is temporal, I have already received everything that God has to give. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Notice it's before him that we appear holy. Okay, now, I'm not proud of this, but I'll tell you the truth. I'm not always holy before you. Okay. You don't see me to be holy all the time, do you? Now I want to be, I try to be, I wish it wasn't so, but I'm not always without blame before you. That's the thing we talked about just a few weeks ago. Holiness, blamelessness. I am not always what I should be in the eyes of men. But the Bible says in Ephesians 1:4, I am always what I should be in the eyes of God the Father, not by my virtue, but by the virtue and the merits of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, there's more. Let's keep reading. Verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Okay, that matches Romans 8. By Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. All right, so never mind this modern talk about you accepting Jesus. You better be sure Jesus has accepted you. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Well, you know what? Do you know what religious men are teaching? If you work hard enough, long enough, if you do good enough to enough people, enough times, you might get an inheritance. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've already got it. I have already obtained it, and I didn't earn it. I didn't work for it. It belongs to my bridegroom, and I got it solely on his merit. It belongs to the head of the church, and I get it solely because I'm a member of his body. I have obtained an inheritance. It's already mine. Verse 11 goes on, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. All right, now here's what you've got to do. Here's what I've got to do to get everything God the Father gave to God the Son to be a joint heir with your Savior, Jesus Christ. What you have to do, who first trusted in Christ. That's the key to the whole thing right there. You've got to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means you have stopped trusting yourself. You've stopped believing in yourself. You have stopped trying to impress God with your works. And you've decided to be impressed with God's works. And so he gets all the glory. I didn't earn it. I am not worthy. I don't deserve it. Therefore, the one that gave it to me, he gets all the praise. And that's the Lord. That's the Lord. All right, now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, okay, are you? Right now, are you in Christ? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's an amazing truth there. The Holy Spirit of God, by the power of God, because of the love of God, through the grace and mercy of God, not only gave me a brand new life in Jesus Christ, verse 17, but the 18th verse says this, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Okay, so watch this exchange that took place, verse 21. For he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us. That's us. The Father made the Son sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, when I look at me, I see the sinner running the race and pressing toward the mark. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, said in Philippians 3, he said, how do I not get discouraged? How do I not give up? How do I keep going on running the race? Because the whole time I'm trying to get to where God wants me to be, I keep in mind that as far as God is concerned, I have already crossed the finish line and won first place. So I'm not running this race to get there. I'm running this race because I am there, and I want to get to the point where I can embrace and thank the one who gave me the victory. See, he's not running to righteousness. He's running to God. He's not running to goodness. He's running to God. He's not running to forgiveness. He's running to God. He's not running to blessing. He's running to God. He's saying, God has already given me everything. We sing that, don't we? He says, I just want to get to him. And, you know, it's him that I want. It's Christ that I want. And that's a hard thing to get a hold on, because our mindset is, if I run the race, God will give me the good thing. But as we've seen, I hope you've seen it tonight, the Bible says God has already given me the good thing. And that's why I run the race. Amen. Colossians 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Okay, how was that? How did that happen? Entirely by faith, by grace through faith. That's how you receive the Lord. Okay, so walk ye in him, entirely trusting in the grace and the merit of God. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Okay, the rudiments of the world, the traditions of men, that which is contrary to Christ. What would these men be trying to do with all that stuff? Spoil me, verse 8. Deceive me, verse 8. From what? Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. What is that perfection that was desired for us by the Holy Spirit? What is that completion that is available to us by the Holy Spirit? It is Christ likeness in thought, word, deed, and action, this side of the resurrection. What is my sure hope, my only hope, of attaining such a measure of Christianity? To stop trusting my works and start working for God, not to get something from God, not to impress God, not to avoid the wrath and the punishment of God, but to work from the frame of mind and the condition of heart that believes Because God so loved me, he has already written me into the fullest possible measure of his eternal will. And knowing that he will never leave me nor forsake me, knowing that I will never be taken from his hand, I live and labor for him, not to get, but to realize what I've already got. Praise his holy name. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for revealing to us and for preserving for us in your holy word all these wonderful things that we have in Christ Jesus from the moment that we received him as our Savior. Lord, we're so grateful. Help us to live our lives in a way that would honor you and show you that we are so very thankful. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.